You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba.
Standing Rock protesters rejoiced on Sunday when the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied a permit needed by the Dakota Access Pipeline to drill under the Missouri River. Alternate routes will now be explored. Protesters caution that halting the pipeline is far from defeating it for good. The world is increasingly recognizing the challenge to protect clean water, which brings us to the very water that surrounds us here in the Bay Area. Let me introduce Austin Newsom.
Hi.
Austin is an Amtrak ticket agent at the Transbay Terminal downtown San Francisco.
Hi.
On his lunch breaks, he takes walks along the Embarcadero.
It's really nice, and people usually, when they're walking along the waterfront, for whatever reason, they have big smiles on their face. I think it makes people happy.
Austin got curious about what he was looking at, so he reached out to Hay Area, KALW's reporting project, and he asked
what the water quality of the bay is and who keeps track of that.
So KALW's environment reporter Angela Johnston went out on a very loud boat to find him some answers.
Actually, there are people whose jobs are dedicated to answering that question. People like biologist Erica Najad.
We get that question all the time when we pull into docks, and they're always like, how's it going out there? Like, what's the water like?
When I meet her on this big metal boat, the sun hasn't come up yet. We put on red life vests and then step into a makeshift lab. Everyone is unpacking test tubes, bottles, and funnels out of boxes before we leave the dock. Najad and a team at the U.S. Geological Survey, the USGS, go out on this boat twice a month, measuring the water quality up and down the bay. They've been doing it for almost 50 years.
So we have this long historical data set, and it's always the same location.
On this boat, Najad and the team measure a variety of things in the water. Nutrients like ammonia and phosphate, salinity, temperature, and oxygen, and a handful of other parameters. At sunrise, the boat leaves the dock and motors out of the marina toward our first stop, just underneath the Dumbarton Bridge. There, the captain of the boat radios Najad on a walkie-talkie, tells her the location and how deep it is. She jots the info down, and the team starts to take their first samples.
Eric, are you set?
Here's how they do it. Najad lowers a large cylindrical metal tube into the water until it hits the bottom of the bay. This is the conductivity, temperature, and depth sensor, or CTD, and it's a pretty common tool in this line of work.
It's a really fancy set of sensors, and that little cable connects to it, and Erica stands here, and she'll control it, and she'll be able to see all of the things that we're measuring for, but in real time.
That's scientist Zephyr Sylvester, a volunteer on the boat. When Najad lowers the fancy CTD sensor into the water, Sylvester also collects water samples at the same spot for comparison to make sure they're getting the correct data.
So clear.
I know, the bottom sample at 24 was like crazy clear.
Sylvester takes the samples from the bottom of the bay and its surface, and processes them in different ways for the different things they're measuring. First, she pours the water through filters inside the boat's lab.
The matter that is floating in the water will stick onto that filter, and all the filters have been pre-weighed. So then when they dry out, we can figure out how much is actually in the water.
Then she hands the water samples in brown, light-proof bottles to another scientist who pours the water through other filters.
So those ones, you can see they're all taped in black because they filter chlorophyll, and to measure the chlorophyll, you don't want any light to hit it.
Other water samples have chemicals added to them and will be analyzed later on. All of this takes fewer than 10 minutes. Once they're done, they move on to the next GPS station and repeat. They reach their last station between Angel Island and Alcatraz around lunchtime.
And the current is ripping.
They'll analyze all the samples in a lab and enter the data into a public online database with data collected 5 or 10 or 40 years before.
All of those things come together to give us a picture of how healthy the bay is.
Okay, but we still haven't really answered Austin's question. What's the water quality like in the bay?
It's hard to like kind of summarize this take-home answer.
That's because there isn't one. Water quality is a broad term.
There's so many different parameters that we measure, and half the time we're out here, we're very just focused on collecting the data and make sure we have good data.
There isn't one single thing you can measure that tells you if it's good or if it's bad overall. County agencies, they monitor drinking water. Other agencies look at swimming conditions. And the USGS team, the data they collect tell us a lot about phytoplankton. Now, these scientists know phytoplankton isn't the most charming of marine life.
Or if you tell people that you're a marine biologist, they think you've studied whales and dolphins. And so when you say phytoplankton, they kind of dull down and like, oh, like, and you're like, not that type of marine biologist.
But phytoplankton, basically microscopic marine plants, are food for a wide range of creatures, from whales to snails to shrimp, which is why they're the perfect thing to measure.
Without a good, healthy phytoplankton community, that the rest of the food chain would suffer.
But too many phytoplankton can be a bad thing. They'll cause algal blooms, which can poison fish, seals, birds, and even people. The San Francisco Bay hasn't had a big bloom, but everyone I talk to says it could happen soon. Nothing in the bay is constant. Just ask Jim Clern, the leader of the USGS water quality team.
San Francisco Bay is a place that is in a continual state of change.
Let's start with the good news.
Since the 1950s, we've cleaned up sewage that is discharged into the bay.
And also heavy metals.
We're talking about things like copper, silver, nickel, zinc.
From electronics and other industries. The South Bay was one of the most contaminated estuaries in the world.
And they were so high in the lower part of the South Bay that clams couldn't reproduce.
But treatment worked, and the clams are back. Now for some bad news, the things we still need to work on. The freshwater rivers that feed the bay aren't flowing at their full capacity. They're being diverted for agriculture and our lawns and showers. This is essentially creating a drought for the creatures that live in the bay. Another problem, some fish in the bay are still contaminated with dangerous chemicals like mercury and PCBs that travel up the food web.
And mercury and PCBs are more difficult water quality problems to solve.
They are legacy pollutants, meaning they've been around for a long, long time.
There are large quantities of mercury in the sediments of San Francisco Bay that were introduced during the gold mining era.
So how's the bay doing? He says it will be great.
After we can grow oysters and it's safe for us to eat them.
And then there are the things that aren't problems yet, but could be. That toxic algae I mentioned, or microplastics, plastic found in facial scrubs. And Clern says the only way to understand these potential problems, keep monitoring.
Each measurement that we make tells a different story. And all of those stories are the book about San Francisco Bay.
All the scientists studying the bay add to that book every time they gather data. But most of the time, Clern says, the public only gets to see the cover. When I meet Austin Newsom on one of his Embarcadero Bayside walks, we sit at a bench staring out at the bay, the cover of Clern's book. The water is blue and calm. There's someone kayaking in the distance.
It's just such a large, pretty bay.
Twice a month, Erica Najad and the USGS team cruise by this bench on their way back from taking samples. Heading back to the lab, working toward an answer to Austin's central question. How's water quality in the bay doing? The answer may never be simple, but right now, this is how Najad sums it up.
I would say it depends, but it's better than it used to be.
For Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.